Good morning and welcome to our full year 2020 earnings result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy, and Maria Rodriguez Gismero, our Sustainability Director. At the end of the presentation, there will be the Q&A session for sell-side analysts. I will let you know at the end how you can ask your question. Now I'll hand you over to David.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone, and many thanks once again for attending our 2020 full year presentation. As you know, Daniel Lozano, he's head of capital markets, will also be presenting this morning. And as he previously stated, we have invited this time Maria Rodriguez Gismero, our head of sustainability, to join us and explain our plans and a roadmap for this year and the very good news we just got concerning our first rating with Sustainalytics. As we always mention, this presentation is available for download both in our website and in the CNMV site where it was filed this morning before opening. We will first briefly review the main highlights of the period. I think we have pretty interesting news. And then Danielle will go through the financials. I'll be back reviewing the details of the pipeline and some interesting fresh news. And I will give the floor to Maria to focus on ESG. We know it has been a very busy day for most of you, a very busy morning with many calls. So we will try not to take more than 30 minutes of your time in the presentation. And after that, there will be a Q&A session. There is a disclaimer on page number one. As you know, it governs this presentation, and it's very important. You are all very familiar with it. So let's get started on page two. This time with the key, we are starting with the key financial figures of 2020. Our net profit reached 50 million euros for the period. This is compared to 11.4 million last year, well, 2019. Regarding EBITDA, we have reached 23.7 million euros. That's compared to 18.4 million. And we have reached a revenue of 113 million euros in the period. Well, it's the first time we surpassed the 100 million euros threshold. And this is compared to 83 million euros in 2019. Daniel will give you more details, but 71.5 million of this figure came from sales to third parties, and 40 million came from works to our own assets, and the rest from our services division. We do consider these figures are pretty good considering the year we have lived, and I believe they would have been better if COVID had not delayed the commissioning of some of our build-to-own plans, and also the US dollar had not depreciated against the euro in more than 10% during the period. Just keep in mind that still in 2020, most of our sales came from US dollar denominated contracts. About our operations, we achieved 17 plants were completed in the year for a total of 300 megawatts. This is around 200 megawatts built to own and 100 megawatts built to sell. It's very important to remark that we have built plants in four countries, two technologies, both in PV and in wind, and in the middle of a pandemic. So it's been really challenging. Many times we get asked about our plans for 2021 and 2022, where we plan to connect, as you know, more than 500 megawatts this year, more than 800 megawatts in 2022. Keep in mind that this is just solar. It's going to happen only in three markets, Spain, Chile, and Colombia. And some of the plants, like Escuderos, are quite large. So I don't think, honestly, that it's going to be more difficult than the great achievement that we've done in 2020. And I really congratulate all our team, because it's been a very difficult year. Looking at our pipeline, we have reached 6 gigawatts of total pipeline. This is quite an impressive progress since last presentation. And it's 1.5 gigawatts more than in the last 12 months. We need to make sure we generate the right projects at the right time in the right market, and we already have a lot of visibility on our targets for 2022-2023, but we need to keep working very hard for on our targets for 2024 and 2025 already. We are now in 7 countries. We have added 2 new markets this in 2020, Italy and the UK. I'll give you more information about the UK later in the presentation. Again, we need to make sure we can keep the machine running at full speed after 2023. A minimum of 1 gigawatt per year is really a must for us. We need new markets to complement the current markets where we have been operating in LATAM and in Spain in the last few years. And about ESG, which you know is something really at our core, and we always insist that our ambition is to be the best in class and a reference company in the industry. And I believe we have excellent news in these areas, as we previously announced. Since, as you knew, we have been working to obtain our first rating with Sustainalytics. And we have just been ranked as the company with the 5th best rating in the industry out of 575 utilities. Meaning we are really at the top, top 1%. This is really great news. I will let Maria, who has been leading this process, to give you full details later on in the presentation. So thank you, and I give the floor to Daniel for the financials.
Okay, thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial part. If you can look at slide 5, we can see that in 2020, total revenue increased by 34% compared to previous year. The development and construction division increased its sale volume by 34% to a total of 111.5 million euros, driven by the build and sale of plant to international investors. 13 solar PV plants corresponding to 102 megawatts were sold in total during the period. The energy division did not have any sales during the period. However, the Quillagua solar PV project obtained income from the sale of energy during last quarter. But due to accountancy reason, during trial and initial operation, those sales have been recognized as less amount for the asset. The service division has increased its income by 39% year on year, mainly due to connection and delivery of new solar PV plant in Chile, to which the operation and maintenance and asset management services will be provided. Let's go to next slide, which is number 6, which explains the EBITDA for the period. Okay, EBITDA for the period reached 23.7 million euros. That means 28% increase compared to 2019, mainly supported by the D&C division, as I've already explained, with a DNC EBITDA margin of 39% and 32% EBITDA margin in total. That EBITDA margin is just considering sales to third parties. And it has been positively affected by minor construction costs due to drop in prices of some components like panel, while price per megawatt sold kept a certain level. As well, there has been some initial SPV sale. And as I explained in previous conferences, the initial invoice for the SPV sale has higher margin compared to the rest of invoices related with the EPC milestone, with margin of around 10 to 15%. That is one of the reasons for the fluctuation in margin between the periods. Now, if we can look at slide 7, you will see how Grenergy invested 80 million euros in 2020, mainly invested in the project we will keep for our own portfolio. Those are the solar PV Quillagua project in Chile, 43 million euros, and both wind project Duna Huambos in Peru, 20 million euros, and Costen, 7 million euros. With some initial works for our Spanish 200 megawatt Los Escuderos project under construction, 4 million euros. There has been, as well, some development capex, but just representing 7 million euros in total within the period. Moving on to slide 8, you can see how our cash balance position at group level evolved in 2020. From a starting cash balance position of 29 million euros, it has been affected by a positive EBITDA of 23.7 million euros, impacted negatively by the change in operating working capital of 26 million euros, and other taxes and finance cash out, 6 million euros. Then growth capex, 80 million euros, that has already been explained and was financed mostly by project debt and other bank borrowing to get to a final balance position of 20.6 million euros. Finally, let's look at slide number 9. Our over leverage has increased slightly to 5.4 times net debt EBITDA. And just please consider that as soon as those plans that we have built for our portfolio and those ones that are under construction right now, that are representing debt but not income, when those plans start producing EBITDA, overall leverage should decrease. And now I'm going to hand you back again to David for the pipeline.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Well, we're going to start the pipeline section this time with this slide, which I believe gives full visibility of the situation of our pipeline. From bottom to top, we can see how we have already 200 megawatts in operation. This is really starting a new time for the company, in which we will soon generate more EBITDA from energy sales than the one we get from sale of plants to third parties. But this is only starting. As you can see, we have 300 extra megawatts under construction and 350 in our backlog, which in most cases is really ready to start construction soon. Altogether, we are talking about already 850 megawatts, which is more than what we need to meet our targets for both build to own and build to sell divisions for 2021. But I think the best news is we keep producing new developments, and the projects we have are maturing at a very good rate. We already have 2.8 gigawatts in advanced development. I'll give you more details later on. From only 960 megawatts last year. And this is a very important point, since it really anticipates a massive inflow of backlog projects and gives visibility on new constructions for 2022 and 2023. As soon as we keep announcing PPAs, many of those projects will make it all the way into backlog, and we will start working on the structuring of the debt. Finally, we keep generating new early stage projects. Once again, we like to stress what an early stage means for us. That is really something. I mean, really, we need a lot of visibility on the grid, on the resource, on the land, we need to make quite sure we have no potential problems with communities and environment. And also we are talking about projects which potentially have access to PPAs. Otherwise, a project will not be in our pipeline. Moving to page 12, just a quick look at this slide we update every quarter. And for the first time, we are showing our regional strategy. Just look at on the left-hand side, the PV table. We already have 3.4 gigawatts in LATAM. It's mainly coming from Chile. But look how Europe is catching up. Already we have 2 gigawatts in markets with huge potential, right? For the first time, we are showing projects in the UK and in Italy. In wind, as you can see on the other side, we are only active and developing in one region and 2 countries, mainly Chile and Peru, with a half gigawatt, we believe are in great locations. So for the time being, we're only active in wind, developing new projects in these 2 countries. Moving to the next slides, we always like to give full visibility on all the projects one by one. Well, as you can see, indicating whether the projects are built to own or built to sell. Well, in some previous presentations, we had outlined that San Miguel de Allende, the project in Mexico, was a project to be sold to third parties. This is still the case. But it will remain in the balance sheet maybe for 1-2 quarters. And we still, the priority, if we find the right exit, we will rotate this asset. Those are the projects we have under construction, 300, and we previously stated, and 353 backlog. Looking at our advanced development projects, just look at the projects where we are about to announce PPAs very soon. Particularly, we hope we will be able to announce PPAs for Belinchón, Ayora, and Tabernas. We have very advanced negotiations. The moment these are binding agreements, we will make this public. I believe this will happen in the next few weeks. And also, we are in very advanced negotiations in Colombia for a second PPA. We announced the first one 2 months ago with Celsia for 15 years. And we are now in advanced negotiations for an extra package of nearly 60 megawatts in Colombia. In Chile and Peru, we are also holding initial negotiations for PPAs. The good news is Peru, I think. The prices of merchant and the prices of PPAs seems to go are going to go up in the next few years. So I think could be potentially a good surprise for 2022-2023. Something that we are actually not considering. Moving to the next slide. Well, the UK is not really a sunny place, but there are many tailwinds and good market conditions for solar, right? There are going to be auctions. It will happen, even starting this year. It's going to be one of the first markets where batteries will play an important role. And well, yes, radiation is much lower than in other geographies, but using trackers, bifacial panels, we can reach 1,300 hours in some of the areas where we are developing. This is the case of Sussex, right? And we have a cluster of projects there. And we have to consider that PPAs and merchant prices, we are expecting that they will be at least 50% higher than in countries like Spain in the next few years, right? We are witnessing an increasing number of off-takers interested in solar, green energy. And well, the problem in the UK, like in Italy, is the size of the projects. Most of them get connected to distribution lines, and the size of the projects is in the region between 10 and 30, 40 megawatts. That's also similar to the case of Italy. So it's definitely more challenging than large projects. But we have a lot of experience in Chile with PMGDs, and now in Colombia with this type of small projects. And we have successfully made clusters in both countries, approaching the finance and the PPAs in an efficient way, creating these clusters. So this is the UK, and some also good news about in Spain. We are officially now introducing our flagship project in Spain. We have named Campo Amor, and it's evacuating in Madrid. If it's 575 megawatts in total. The projects will be split between Madrid and Castilla-La Mancha and Guadalajara, right? This project was already in our pipeline as early stage. Now we are moving it to advanced development. And it's really, we are back in two different substations sharing the same interconnection line. It's Tres Cantos 220 and Tres Cantos 400 kilowatts. And the project is really on track. More than 80% of the land is being secure. The project will be in public information quite soon. We expect next quarter. And we are expecting, based on our experience, we are expecting are ready to build in the third or fourth quarter of 2022. It might be the first project where we are considering batteries in Spain. It's not the first one for the company, since we are already considering batteries for some of the large projects in Chile. There are quite a few very large projects of PV in Spain, and we believe this will be for sure one of them. Some of the figures of these projects are well quite awesome, right? Like we produce energy for 300,000 households. We believe the EBITDA will be close to 30 million euros per year for these projects once fully operational, right? And we are already starting initial conversations to secure the PPAs from the end of 2023 or early or 2024. Before I hand over to Maria, this is, just the slide where we show, we believe there's a huge opportunity in Europe for PV. We, at one point in the industry, we thought this was going to be just a matter of an industry to get fully developed in Southern Europe, but it's really happening everywhere, and it's really going to happen from England to Finland to Central Europe. So we believe there's a great opportunity. We are, for the moment, focusing, apart from Spain, in Italy and the UK, but we keep analyzing other markets with huge potential for solar in the next few years. So that's it on my side. I'm going to hand over to give the floor to Maria on ESG. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. So I wanted to start my part of the presentation talking about our ESG roadmap. As we announced previously, 2020 was an important year for us. Last year, we carried out a materiality assessment and also a diagnosis exercise to obtain information about our ESG material aspects, as well as existing gaps in our ESG performance. So the result of this work provided us with very valuable information that we use as the basis in the design of our ESG roadmap 2023, which is a very comprehensive plan that comprises close to 70 actions. So this slide that you are looking at presents you the actions that we identified as our priority, and therefore these are the ones that we are going to be implementing during 2021. The structure of our roadmap mirrors the structure of the TCFD and covers our governance, the integration of ESG goals in the corporate strategy, the way we manage our ESG risks and boost our impacts, and finally how we communicate internally and externally with regards to ESG aspects. We already started to implement some of these actions. Our commitment here is to report on the progress of this action plan in our quarterly presentation so that our stakeholders can be informed about its implementation. So moving to the next slide, we believe that climate change is one of the greatest challenges of our time. And beyond the important role that our company plays as a pure renewable energy company in producing clean energy, we are committed to measure our own emissions and to set reduction targets that are science-based. So we have already identified the sources of emissions in our business and also in our supply chain, and increased particularly our scope 3 to include sources such as the sea freight. And finally, in the next slide, I'm very glad to announce that we obtained our very first ESG rating provided by Sustainalytics with a low risk score of 13.6. The results position Grenergy as a leader in ESG risk management and rank our company third in the renewable power producer sub-industry and fifth out of 575 utilities assessed globally. This rating considers both the exposure to ESG risks and how a company manages any existing risks. So in our case, we were assessed the management of seven material ESG issues, such as corporate governance, business ethics, human capital, local communities, and others. They were all assessed and all considered as strong, which is the highest possible score. These results are reassuring and are possible only when sustainability permeates all the business units and geographic locations where we operate. We see sustainability, though, as a journey of continuous improvement, and we continue to work hard to improve further using our ESG roadmap. And just to conclude, also wanted to let you know that we are already certified as a great place to work. This is a certification that is based on the opinions of the employees and their level of satisfaction. This certification uses blind surveys that are specifically designed to measure the employees' trust. Well, we conducted this service in summer 2020, right after the extended confinement period, as we thought this was an ideal moment to gain insights and to evaluate our response as an employer in a very difficult period. That's all on my side. So, David, if you want to take it from here.
Okay, thanks very much, Maria. And I think we can move to Q&A, which is always more interesting. Thank you.
Yes, please, if you have any questions, please send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write the content of it, and we will let you participate. So let's wait a couple of minutes. I think we have Fernando García from RBC. Fernando?
Daniel, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you, David,
Daniel, and Maria for taking my questions and for the presentation as well. I have three questions. No? The first one is about this Clara Campoamor project of 575 megawatts. You said in your presentation that you think that you can reach ready-to-build phase in Q3 2022. So taking into account this, maybe you will have this project, let's say, commissioned potentially in 2023. Taking into account that is a big project, do you think that you could be able to raise your 2.5 gigawatt target for 2023? I mean, your thoughts there. Second, in terms of the UK pipeline, you already said that you are expecting small size projects, 20 to 30 megawatt there. You already commented about load factors, more or less around 13-14%. But can you comment a little bit as well, you know, installation cost of these projects, anything that OPEX, anything that could give us some indication what could be the potential returns that you can get there. And finally, you can provide some update of your negotiation in terms of PPAs that you are carrying out, and what are your expectations for 2021 in terms of PPAs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Fernando. I think I take the three questions. About the Campo Amor project, well, it's true that we are expecting ready to build in Q2 2022, maybe Q3. Yeah, okay, it has a long interconnection line, longer than other projects. And we are more thinking in this project, we are on the conservative side, and we are thinking on our targets for 2024 that still are not public. Just keep in mind that we have close to 700 megawatts, a lot more advanced than this project, right? And our targets for 2022 are 400, 500 for 2023. So we are not that far. We might consider partially this project for 2023. We are also looking at the enlargements of some other 16 projects, but we are more thinking in 2024 for this project. Anyway, just keep in mind that when we announce those large projects, normally it's an aggregation of several projects of 50 megawatts. It could happen that part of Campo Amor project is ready to build in 2022 and some other part is ready to build in early 2023. So answering your question, we are more thinking in 2024 for this flagship project. About the UK, as I mentioned during the presentation, we currently have projects. I think that we had the meeting of the UK last week, and the latest update, we have 15 projects. Those projects range from 10 megawatts to, I think the largest one is 50 megawatts, right? We try to grab projects as big as possible, but the problem in the UK, like in Italy and many other markets, is that it's extremely difficult to obtain land and grid for large projects, as is the case of countries like Spain and Chile, where we do have this option, right? So this part of the game, and about the installation cost, well, we are not considering any UK projects until maybe 2024. So let's see how the CapEx cost is at that time. We don't think, just making very initial calculations, we are considering a slightly higher CapEx cost for the UK just due to the slightly higher cost for civil works and electric installations, because some of the costs are slightly higher, but I don't think it will have a dramatic impact in the total CapEx cost in the UK. I think it will be slightly higher than Italy, a bit higher than Spain and Chile, but maybe we're talking about 20,000-30,000 extra pounds or euros per megawatt. So it's really not a big deal. We are talking about maybe lower than 10% extra cost. About the question about the PPAs in the different markets where we are, I already commented on this point in the presentation. We know is you are some of the analysts and investors, you are waiting for some big announcements in concerning new PPAs in Spain. We have been working for many months in negotiations. We even have signed LOIs. One of the reasons why we were not active at all in the latest auction is because we had no projects, because those projects were already in exclusive agreements with off-takers, right? But we only announce a PPA whenever it's completely binding. And we expect to make a major announcement soon in Spain and also in Colombia. And we believe that before the end of the year, we will also make some announcements in Chile and Peru, thinking in our targets for 2023.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Fernando.
I think now we have Jorge Guimarães from GB Capital.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
George, how are you?
Yes, hi, Jorge.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have four questions. One is related to the capacity you added in Mexico. I want to understand if you plan to keep this capacity for your build-to-own portfolio or to... This is just a temporary until you sell this to a third party. Then I would like also to understand what could we expect this year and in terms of build to sell, namely because the company is already developing a large amount of capacity for its own portfolio. The third one would be if you would be related to the costs of Costén and Dunahuambos. This project effectively suffered significant delays, so I'd like to have an idea if the CapEx also overrun or just a matter of timing. And the final one, just a clarification on something you mentioned during the presentation, this project of Campo Amor. I understand you mentioned an EBIT of 13 million euros for this project. Is this correct? Okay, and these would be my questions.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. I think I can start with the last question. I'm talking about 330, not 10, not 13, and I'm already considering a price below 30 euros per megawatt hour, slightly below 30 for us as a price of the energy. For a 12 years PPI, so that's where you get this figure. It could be slightly higher than this. I think I was getting a turnover of 36, 37 minus OPEX and EBITDA. I believe slightly above 30 million euros, right? About Mexico, Mexico is not. Right now is not a strategic market for us. We have long experience in this market, and now we have extraction experience. This is very important, right? But still, we are not very sure whether we will reactivate this market or not. In fact, we have close to half gigawatts of projects developed in this market, but they're not part of our pipeline right now. Because of our requirements to a project to be in an early stage. So considering this is a situation in Mexico, and after all, 35 megawatts is a small project right now for us. The priority will be selling this project to a third parties, and we are holding several conversations. So it might be a possibility that we transfer this asset as part of our build to sell during this year, right? And linking to the next question about targets or build to sell for this year, I think minimum 100. If we transfer this Mexico, it will be closer to 150, maybe 135. That's the figure, right, that we are working. If you look at our presentation, I'm showing you page 13. You can look that we are already building 42 megawatts that will get transferred to a third party. This is 42, and we have identified 8 projects out of our backlog in Chile that might be we might be considering also to transfer. So just I'm not sure whether we will be able to build and transfer all these 80 or part of them, but we have 80 here, we have 42 here, which is already under construction, and then we have San Miguel de Allende. So this is the range that we are talking. It could be lower range 100 and the higher range 150. This is the plan. And we still have the 500 we need for build to own. About Kosten and Duna Wambo's CapEx price, well, building these projects has been extremely challenging for us. I mean, these were our first wind projects ever. Also, these were our first projects in both countries. And we have suffered COVID in Argentina and Peru a lot. It's been a lot more strict, the lockdowns, compared to countries like Chile. Still concerning the CapEx, there are no big changes in Peru. It's just a matter of time. I mean, we suffer a delay of more than a year, right? And the change in CapEx, I think is around 5%. So out of the total CapEx expected of 40 million in the end, it's going to be like 42 million US dollars, right? We have larger deviations in Argentina. Originally, we were expecting 30, I reckon it's below 40 million. It was 37, 38 million US. And at the end of the day, it's going to be like 10% more. So it's around 4 million US extra of equity than initially expected. Still, it's both projects have a very high resource that in somehow compensates and keeps a very consistent return in both projects.
Okay, many thanks for your answers.
Okay, Jorge, if you need any further clarification.
Okay, thank you, George. I think we have now Anis from ODDO.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, congrats for the good set of results and for the last developments. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is on 2020 taxes. Why they are so low, and what about what should we expect for 2021? The second one is on the sustainability of your current pace of development in this increasing competitive environment. What is your competitive advantage to maintain this level of development versus other players? And the third question is on the last auction in Spain. Why did you not participate in this auction? And what do you think about the price, the prices obtained? It's about 25 euro per megawatt in average. So could this impact the corporate PPA prices in Spain? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think I'll leave you, Daniel, the first one on taxation, right?
Yes, sure.
It really deserves a good explanation.
Okay, well, in 2020, we have registered at the expense of 0.4 million euros. This amount corresponds, on one hand, to a tax expense paid of 4.7 million euros, but we have had a positive effect on tax expense due to the reconnection of tax loss carry forward, 2.5 million euros of some subsidiaries, the one in Mexico, the one in Costen, that will be compensated in the coming years, and as well some other recognition of temporary differences, I think was 1.8 million euros. Okay, mainly correspond to consolidation adjustment from the elimination of internal margins. Okay.
And then, thank you. Okay. Well, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay, and I take the other two questions, right? About the pace of development. Well, that's obviously a very good question, since I think whether we like it or not, I'm showing you this again, this slide. if we want to have projects, ready to build projects 2023, which we are able to build on 2024, even now 2025, we need to start working very hard from now. And we don't think this is achievable. It's achievable to keep the rhythm of construction that we're looking at more than 1 gigawatt per year. If we keep just in Spain and Chile and Colombia, okay, it will be easier for us just to tell you, okay, no problem. I'm going to do like 10 gigawatts in Spain, no problem. Honestly, we don't think this is going to be the case. And we need to look at other geographies, and we need to diversify our presence in other markets. And this is what we are doing. And we believe the situation in Europe is very good for solar right now, as we earlier mentioned, right? And we need to look at other markets, and this is more complex, but we have some competitive advantages, right? That first have flexibility. We can move to a new market very soon. I mean, we are announcing now that we are entering the UK. The truth is, obviously, we have been working for more than half a year. We have the team in place now. This team is coordinated with our headquarters development team in Madrid, right? We are analyzing at other markets, and we can move very quickly. I mean, if we consider that Poland is an interesting market, or Germany, or I don't know, you name it, because now solar is going to be a explosion of development, and it's really happening in every single market. So we have this flexibility, and we can move very fast. Development, after all, is very similar from one market to another, right? But basically you need the local expertise. So far we are building our own teams locally. In some other markets, we might look at partnering with small local developers. This is something that we have not done so far, but we might consider to do that in some markets. But it's really about moving fast, and it's basically about doing what we know, right? Which is developing the right projects in the right market, and the momentum and the timing is really critical. Mm-hmm. About, I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, and about the auctions, why did not participate? Well, because we were sold out. We have no projects to participate. I mean, if you look at our advance, I'm showing you the advance projects we have in Spain. The first three, Belinchona, Lloran, Tabernas, were included in exclusive agreements already with an off-taker, right? So we couldn't participate at all. And this is the first PPA we expect to announce. And Jose Cabrera, we also are in very advanced negotiations with off-takers, where we think we can achieve better prices than in the auctions. Obviously, the auction is sending a signal to the market, but we're talking about different things, right? And I believe that even if you have a very good off-taker, you might, with a very investment-grade off-taker, you can get better prices, maybe 4-5 euros extra per megawatt hour compared to the prices of the auction, right? Because we're talking about a different product, okay? Mm-hmm. But obviously, the results of the auction will have an impact on the PPA market. But we are talking about different channels right now. And the PPA market is much larger, we believe, right now than whatever is getting auction.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. It was very clear.
Okay. Thank you, Anis.
Thank you, Anis.
Thank you.
Okay. I think it's the last analyst with question. Is Flora Tindale from CaixaBank BPI. Hello, Flora.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my questions.
Hi.
Just to follow up on the previous one regarding new markets. So you were mentioning you could look into new markets relatively quickly, but just to get us a sense of what would be the maximum number of markets that you can enter one, considering the size of your structure. And also, I assume that you would want to have a relevant scale. So if you could just give us a number on what you could think could be reasonable in terms of target markets. And then secondly, focusing on 2021, so you have around 300 megawatts under construction and the goal of adding 500 megawatts. So do you see any risks of delays in this target? And then finally, just on putting into perspective some comments of one of your competitors regarding the expectations on CapEx evolution, especially in solar PV with relevant declines in the coming years. Can you share your expectations? You have been mentioning in previous calls more conservative expectations for CapEx evolution, but if you can just update us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Flora. For your questions. About the first one, it's about the maximum number of markets. Well, we don't see really now exactly as markets, but as regions, right? I mean, we are a small company now. We are reaching now 200 employees. So we have our limitations, obviously, and we want to focus in some regions, and we are a company with two headquarters, right? We have the general headquarters in Madrid, and we have a strong office in Santiago de Chile. Then we have local teams, but the local teams in Colombia and Peru are really linked with the people. They're part of the same team than Chile. So we really see Chile, Peru, and Colombia as one region. And now we can develop projects in countries like Italy and the UK with pretty small local teams. I mean, in Italy, I think we might be slightly below 10 before the end of this year. And in the UK, 5-6 before the end of this year. That's our target. But this is because that many of the development can also be done by our team, all the engineering, part of the environment. It's also supported by our team. So if we open a new market in Europe, it's very different than, I don't know, if we open a new market like South Africa, Australia, Malaysia, or you know, India. So we really are not considering to move into different regions. And our plan is to remain in LATAM, where we already are very happy with our presence. And we believe there is a huge opportunity in Europe, in particular for solar. And we want to get the maximum. I don't know, Flora, whether it will be 3 markets, 5 markets, 6 markets. We are not that worried because we really see it as a region, right? But obviously we will try to make sure that if we get into a new market, it's because we have enough talent and people to do it fine. About the targets for 2021, well, it's 500, as you say. It's 300 is under construction. Yes, anyway, keep in mind that part of these parks are built to sell. So yeah, we are really on track in Spain, and we need to start building and commission 250 between Colombia and Chile. In Colombia, we have started our first plant out of 6, and the other 5 we believe can be built during the second semester, and we need to close the financing first. That our structure finance team is working very hard. And the rest is Chile, right? And well, we really feel quite comfortable with Chile. It's going to be challenging, right? There is one plan of 100 megawatts, which is definitely much easier. But then we're going to have to build 80 or 90 extra megawatts of PMGDs. We have the finance secure and even close, but still it's going to be quite challenging. But the way we see it is first half of the year, Escuderos. We have to conclude Escuderos in early Q3, but now we are really busy with Escuderos and business as usual in Chile. but we are going to intensify the construction in the second part of the year. And in Colombia is the new market this year, right? We are building our first one. And the moment we close the financing, we will go ahead with the rest. We have the PPA in this case, but we need the finance. So yes, we are pretty confident, right? I don't know if we miss the target, we'll be believed by one or two projects, but I don't think we're going to miss it. I think we are well on track for 2021. About CapEx per megawatt, I don't make comments on what our competitors the estimations they're given. We know there's one company in particular that is giving very aggressive CapEx price, and all the industry is saying, wow, how can they make it? I obviously don't know. I can tell you about their situation right now. It's just based on the procurement we made in the Q4 for Escuderos. It's a very large plan of 200 megawatts. And right now, the CapEx per megawatt we can achieve right now is 400 thousand euros, and maybe 450 if you include all the substation and the interconnection line. If you're a node of 400 with other developers, you also have to share some evacuation costs with them. So I think a very realistic price right now will be 450. Maybe this is for large plants. If you're talking about smaller projects, like the ones we are doing in some cases in Chile and in Colombia, the real figure will be closer to half a million euros per megawatt. That's the situation right now. Panels, the last procurement we made, and believe me, we do very competitive processes every time we are about to start any construction, right? And the last price of modules was like 220. Well, that's in dollars. In euros, will be like 180,000 euros per megawatt. It's true that in the first months of COVID, those prices went down rapidly, but prices are very similar now to pre-COVID. This is really a supply and demand market. We don't have a crystal ball, so no one in the industry really knows what the price of panels is going to be next year. Obviously, there are many capacity expansions, right, in all the Super League manufacturers. So we might expect some reduction in modules from the current levels. So I don't know, maybe 20, 30, maximum 40. So at one point at the end of this next year, we might go down to a price of 360, 370 just for the plant plus interconnection. That's basically our realistic estimation, right, of CapEx.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we don't have any more questions, and even we don't have time. So thank you very much for your time. I hope it has been of your interest. And if you have any more questions, please, you can send me straight away an email. We will take care about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.